For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. My bad, Joe. Joe Brazil's over there.
No, I was yawning.
You forgot he was here?
I cranked up the volume on something because I turned it down earlier.
Did you think like it was hurting my ears?
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm all good. Absolutely. And I've got ear protection with my hair.
Okay, perfect.
Nothing really, you know. So
very good.
I'm good.
Shout out to Joe. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Hanging out with you till noon. D'Lo and KC next. No D'Lo this week. Just KC. Gonna be KC and friends right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. Wanna remind you, we have a new version of the handoff that just kind of goes for as long as we want the handoff to go. So starting at 11:45, we're just gonna rock until we decide we're done chatting with KC.
Okay.
Cool. So that's the plan. Appreciate you listening on the radio at 1320 AM and 98.5 FM HD2. Appreciate you listening on the free Odyssey, iHeart, or TuneIn apps. We're available on all of those. If you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, good morning. Hello, youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. What up? We appreciate all of y'all. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch scheduled to talk now. I have not seen any quotes go up yet, but I'm interested to find out if we get an update on the Juwan Jennings deal. I'm interested to see if we get an update on Brandon Ayuk's return, because Matt Maiocco from NBC Sports reported that Brandon Ayuk could be ready for week one, but the Niners are going to be take it easy with him, and he'll probably start the season on PUP, so we're probably not going to see him during training camp.
Okay.
Kind of a weird situation.
PUP, does that keep you out 4 or 6 weeks?
4 weeks.
Okay.
So just very, very brief. PUP list, physically unable to perform. You'll also hear NFI, non-football injury list. So the PUP list is for players who were hurt at the facility or in a game last year. So like Brandon Ayuk got hurt playing football. Ricky Pearsall, I'm assuming this is hamstring related from a hamstring injury he suffered at the facility during OTAs. We have not gotten word. We'll hopefully get word on that as well from Shanahan and Lynch here. But those lists work the same way. So when you're on that list, you don't count for a roster spot on the 90-man roster.
Okay.
You can come off that list anytime during training camp and participate. Now the team has to clear a roster spot for you, but you're off the PUP list.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing right now from our friend Nick Wagner. That John Lynch said guys on the PUP weren't ready to be cleared on the day they took physicals. Some guys will be cleared pretty quickly. Ricky Pearsall is expected to be short term, but not likely to be ready tomorrow.
Okay.
So the next couple of days, it sounds like.
Okay. Yeah, John Lynch also said, this is according to David Lombardi from The Athletic, that he had a good chat with Juwan Jennings and that he anticipates Jennings will be out there at practice tomorrow.
Now, real time. It's all happening right now.
I don't know if that means he's going to actually be participating or if he's just going to be out there at practice. But it is a hamstring for Ricky Pearsall. And yeah, man, so those guys, if you stay on the PUP list all through training camp and into the regular season, you're now required to stay on that list for at least 4 weeks or 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
So they would miss, if you start the season on PUP, you're missing minimum 4 weeks. And then you can be activated and you can play in week 5.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah. According to Lynch, we love him and he's here. That's their stance right now on Juwan Jennings. They're not getting into whether or not they've renegotiated contract.
All right, let's get to TC on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Go ahead, TC.
Hey, what's up, bro? Hey, so, I'm just, Kyle, you know how I feel. Him, you too, bro. Like, I just, you know, Jaden, I'm over the boy Kyle, so I really don't give a damn about the Niners.
Kyle Shanahan, not me. Sorry, go on.
Not you. Shanahan, not Kyle Madsen. That's my boy. You and Hammer. But I'm over. I'm not super excited, bro, about this season. I'm not. I'm on a Kings hype, bro, and I'm just like, I'm cool on that. If we get it done, we get it done, bro. Other than that, I'm just not super invested, bro, because I'm jaded, and I'm at that point, bro, where I'm overdue. You know, like,
hey, TC, yeah, I got you.
Somebody.
Yeah, I got you. Since I have been on this radio station, you've been over Kyle Shanahan, and I respect your commitment to that. why, and I'm asking this genuinely, why is it that you maintain so much optimism about the Sacramento Kings and so much pessimism about the 49ers, despite the 49ers' massive success compared to the Kings over the last two decades?
Because for one, I'm from Sacramento, bro, and I'm a diehard. I'm diehard.
That's
both,
the
right?
Best answer.
Hold on. Yeah. So, but that has nothing to do with it. It's just I'm over Kyle, bro. Like, we've been there. We're just not gonna win nothing with that dude, bro. And then the whole like that rubbed me the wrong way. You turn like we can go into a whole conversation, Kyle, when we sitting face to face about that. It's over the radio, bro. But I'm super jaded over the team, bro. And I'm cool. I'm not super excited. Like I'm always with the Niners. Super Ninered out. I'm not like that this season, bro.
All right. Sorry about that, TC. Appreciate the call.
All right. So we have more info coming in.
Great. No, this is good. This is good. Go ahead.
From Nick Wagner. No determination yet on potential discipline for DeMarcus Robinson, according to John Lynch.
What? All right. What?
We're still sitting there.
How are we still trying to decide? He's gone to court. He pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor DUI charge.
Okay.
All of the other charges were dropped. What are we waiting on?
I don't know.
Are they still waiting to determine how they're going to punish Rashi Rice and then do like less for DeMarcus Robinson? Or are they having internal conversations just now about like, hey, are we going to treat all driving crimes equally? What's the holdup here?
I mean, it seems like they should have a pretty like standard like guidebook for this. I mean, the Rice stuff is different because he's getting mm-hmm. 30 days in jail and
right.
and you know like and then 5 years of probation and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But this seems like one that should have been settled a long time ago. I don't understand why the league isn't just like handing it out like during the offseason so you know. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe the players' union is fighting to say, hey, no, don't put it out until training camp starts, so then that way guys who, you know, could possibly be on rosters won't get waived and stuff like that. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But they're reporting today, and like if you're the team, you want to know if you're going to be missing this guy for the first 3 weeks or not.
Yeah.
It's kind of significant.
No, it is. It's significant. According to Matt Maiocco, Brandon Ayuk is in a really good place considering he did a lot to his knee. John Lynch said. He'll be working on his rehab with the team, but the team is encouraged. They are not close to having any kind of timeline for Brandon Ayuk.
Not a surprise.
No.
It wouldn't. I'm fine. If I'm the 49ers, I'm fine letting Brandon Ayuk sit the first 6 weeks. Even if he's good,
yeah.
Just really making sure you're continuing strengthening, you're continuing conditioning, you're confident on that knee. Because I think if you try and rush him back, and even if he starts the season on pup, and you go, great, week five, get out there. Then give him a couple more weeks.
Yeah. We've been asking about the wide receiving core over the last couple of, I don't know, months.
Yeah.
According to Maiocco, the 49ers signed Equanimeous St. Brown to their 90-man roster. The opening of training camp, he's a six-year veteran who appeared in two games with no catches for the Saints last season.
Equanimeous St. Brown, the Notre Dame legend, whose full name, I believe, is Equanimeous Imhotep J. St. Brown.
Wow.
Just the letter J.
Okay.
There's no dot at the end of it. It's just that letter. It doesn't stand for a name.
He, of course, is a brother of Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yes.
Yeah. The St. Brown brothers.
Yes. And I think their dad's name is like John. Pretty incredible. So salute. Equanimeous St. Brown. He was one of six wide receivers who worked out for the 49ers yesterday. They need depth there, man. Like, this is not, I don't, the Equanimeous St. Brown thing is whatever. They just need somebody to take reps.
Yeah.
They have two receivers out and one who may or may not practice. They need somebody to eat up some reps.
Yeah, so. You're just hoping that someone, too, like, shows up as in great shape and has worked on his game and is better than they were before and maybe in a new opportunity they can thrive in. Yeah. I mean, because if not, there are still some really, really good veteran wide receivers that are available. Mm-hmm. And the 49ers could, you know, go play in that pool.
Yeah.
If they really want to, if they feel like it's that big of a need.
Yeah. Which they clearly don't.
they never seem to be on the same page that you and I are. It's like, man, they really need
anyone,
offensive linemen.
Dude.
And then they wait till the sixth round or seventh round. You're like,
golly. Oh. Just like, man, they got a ton of cap space. Maybe they should sign Gabe Davis or pick a safety that they've been potentially needing or a corner. Just, nope. Gonna roll Darrell Luter out there. Like, all right, man, you got it. Cool. I guess. Got a lot of news coming out from John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan today. Oh, man. I'm going to wait for a second source, but yikes.
What's that?
I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to wait until I see a second source on this, but we might have some non-sports news.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Oh, do we? Oh, sweet. Great. Let's get to the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. What's the name on this?
Ryan.
Ryan. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to the caller that had called in earlier about being over Shanahan. You know, I think I look at some coaches like John Madden and Andy Reid. Tony Dungy, these guys took a while to win. And, you know, they were just putting together a good product in the meantime. And when you look at Shanahan and John Lynch together, they've been putting together a good product for a while now. And it's been consistent. And, yeah, they had a down year last year. It's going to happen. But I think that they're doing the right things and they're moving the right pieces. I mean, look at what they've done this offseason and bringing back Saleh. I think it's a very good outlook for the Niners.
All right, thanks for the call, man. Yeah, and I think that that's one way to look at it for sure. If you've just convinced yourself that the 49ers should have four Super Bowls right now and they have zero of them because Kyle Shanahan is an awful head coach, I have nothing for you. I have nothing I can tell you that's going to change your mind. Because what I'm going to tell you is, hey, they win a lot. They went to four NFC title games and two Super Bowls in 5 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Like, that's a good little run. But if you're just kind of out, then you're going to be out. I tend to lean more toward what Ryan was saying, where, okay, like he's not the, what the 49ers front office and coaching staff have done has not been perfect necessarily, but they're very clearly kind of trying to retool on the fly here,
mm-hmm.
where they're competitive this year and maybe things break right and you're making a deep playoff run, but ideally kind of restocking the cupboard because they've not done that over the last couple of years and they swung and missed on a couple of drafts and that's super damaging when you're trying to build long-term sustainable success in the NFL. But I don't think that there's a lot of coaching staffs and a lot of front offices that you would trust at this point to reopen a Super Bowl window. So I struggle with the idea that like, this coach is bad because the team lost the Super Bowl because Christian McCaffrey fumbled in the red zone on the first drive or because they missed a blocking assignment or because extra point got blocked or because the quarterback, the tight end who blocks on a very basic play action play got blown by and Brock Purdy got hit just right and it blew out his elbow on a play that didn't even hit the ground. He just got hit wrong.
Yeah.
Like I just have a really hard time being like, that's on the coach. The coach sucks. If they had any different coach, they would have Super Bowls by now. I don't believe that. I don't believe that one bit.
Yeah, I kind of put Shanahan in the Pete Carroll like bucket. He's, you know, is he a guy who's gonna win, you know, 15 Super Bowls or 8 Super Bowls? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that he's not a guy who, you know, is a very, very good NFL head coach and is going to get you, you know, typically 10, 12 wins almost every season and then have they've been really good about having a down year, rebuilding, and then popping right back up and being ready to play.
Yeah. So, like I said, if you're out, you're out. I'm not going to argue with you. That's cool. I think there's more reasons to be in than reasons to be out at this point. All right, we didn't do any Kings roster stuff. We'll do that next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and Joe Brazil's over there. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
And yeah, not a lot of strong wide receivers left in the free agent market.
At all? Okay.
Now you got 33-year-old Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
You have Amari Cooper, who may or may not be washed.
Oh, and he had the knee injury. Or he had an injury.
Did he?
I could have sworn that. Didn't they? He got traded during the season, right?
Yes.
Oh, am I thinking Diggs?
Stephon Diggs got hurt. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Amari Cooper, I guess, if you want to consider him.
I like Keenan Allen. I mean, dude can catch, but probably washed.
Yeah, not. And we've seen the Niners time and time again. They'd rather go with a lower level free agent like Equanimee St. Brown and then give their young guys reps and hope that one of them is good at football instead of signing a veteran that they know they can play. At least that's kind of what they've done in the past. Let's talk some Kings roster. We were going to do this yesterday, and we kicked the can down the road today, or to today, and I want to make sure we get this in, because we've talked so much about do the Kings sign another point guard? Who starts? What does this look like? Where are they at with adding Jonathan Kuminga, all this other stuff? Where does Devin Carter play? So I want to go position by position. Figure out who's on the roster that can play that position and what the depth chart we think kind of looks like right now with the roster as constructed. So at point guard, I would be shocked if anybody but Dennis Schroeder is starting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is an avenue where you could say, hey, look, we're going to have an open competition between Malik Monk and Dennis Schroeder. Schroeder's a better defender. Monk is they're very similar as far as players. I wouldn't be totally shocked. I think it would be easier to start Malik again with Dennis Schroeder there than it was when you didn't have someone that could be another Malik Monk off the bench.
So you think realistically Malik Monk has a chance to start a point guard for the Kings this year?
Probably not, but I would at least have, like, say, walk into camp saying, hey, every job is up for grabs.
You can't do that.
You don't think so?
I mean, theoretically, yes. Kyle Shanahan always says with the Niners training camp, every job is open. Fred Warner is not fighting for his job. Nick Bosa is not fighting for his job. Brock Purdy is not fighting for his job. Let's keep it a stack.
Yeah.
I would be floored if Scott Perry walked into his first press conference, said the first thing this team needs is a point guard, and then they overpay Dennis Schroeder to bring in Dennis Schroeder and then go, actually, you're going to come in behind Malik Monk, though. No chance. No chance.
I mean, if
it never say never, I would be shocked if they did that. And honestly, I would lambaste the signing even more.
Okay, but if it's a player that isn't just like a guaranteed starter, you know what I mean? Because I think that, you know, that's the problem you have when you have.
Then,
I mean, all right. Let's be honest. Dennis Schroeder, like, again, you can love it, the signing, hate the signing. I mean, he started 8 of his 28 games with Detroit last year, and 18 of his 24 with the Warriors, and 23 of his 23 with Brooklyn. My goodness, he played for 3 teams.
Right. So he started on the team that didn't have a point guard. He didn't start on the team that had Steph Curry, and he didn't start on the team that had Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. But if you look at, he started 49 out of 75. But for his career, he started 424 out of 842 games.
No, like, I know. This isn't a Dennis Schroeder has to start because Dennis Schroeder is awesome. This is a Scott Perry made it very clear they needed a point guard, and then they made it very clear that Dennis Schroeder is the point guard they needed.
Yeah.
If you bring him in and then go, actually, Malik Monk is going to start. What? That would be nuts to me. That would be if you're that confident that Malik Monk could be your starting point guard, then what was the whole Dennis Schroeder thing for?
No, I'm with you. But I'd also say, like, Malik Monk was your starter at the end of the season until he got hurt, and then when you brought him back, you brought him back off the bench, and
he was the starter. And he was so much the starter that Scott Perry went, this is not going to work, this roster. It needs a point guard.
Yes.
It was the whole deal. It was the whole thing.
I understand. I get it.
If Malik Monk is better than Dennis Schroeder at point guard, the Kings have a problem.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, I mean, I think they have a problem either way. I think basically they're trying to turn two point guards that are, you know, basically would rank in the 20s as starting point guards and somewhere in the, and you know, between 20 and 30
sure.
in the league and starting point guards. And you're trying to convert that into one starting level, like higher starting level point guard.
And Schroeder's a starter. Monk is probably your second.
Okay.
Because I don't think they have another player on their roster unless Neat Clifford makes a preseason leap as the primary ball handler.
Mm-hmm. I know, like, people are saying, you know, like, they signed Dennis. If he's not going to be the starter, then, like, look, this guy has never been, he's never been guaranteed a starting job ever in his career.
I get, yeah. It's not about Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
It's about Scott Perry. This is a Scott Perry thing.
Mm-hmm.
If Scott Perry went, this team needs a point guard, first and foremost, above all else, forget everything else I have on my agenda, point guard first.
Yep.
And then they sign that point guard, and then he doesn't even start?
Well,
that implies that they didn't need a point guard.
Well, yeah, but the level of point guard that you got isn't just head and shoulders above what you already had.
Why
so,
did you pay him $14 million? Why didn't you just go get one of the cheaper guys?
Hey, man, I'm just going to tell you.
This is why he has to start.
The same logic that we use every other time. Malik Monk makes $4 million more, almost $5 million more a year than Dennis Schroeder. Like, straight up.
I guess.
If I have two guys that one of them's way younger, one of them, they both play the same exact position. They both have had times where they're a starter and times where they're coming off the bench. To me, it's a coin flip. I think Schroeder's a better defender. So that's probably what gives him the advantage in the starting lineup. But outside of that, like, I'm not, like, hey, if I'm having a training camp battle, that's one of them right there. That's a training camp battle. Ooh. I told you the other day, there are only two players that I think today are guaranteed starting jobs.
If the Kings went from, we'll revisit what you just said, but if the Kings went, I'm going to beat this dead horse. If the Kings went from starting Malik Monk to the point and having that go to the point where their GM said, we need a point guard first and foremost, and then they bring in a point guard, and then Malik Monk is in all these trade rumors, and oh, Malik Monk may not fit what they're trying to do, and oh, they're going to trade Malik Monk for Dennis Schroeder, and then Malik Monk winds up starting over Dennis Schroeder, that's a tough pill for me to swallow.
Okay.
That's tough. Because I don't think Malik Monk is a starting NBA point guard.
Yeah, but I mean, can keep it real. I don't think Dennis Schroeder is starting NBA point guard either.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, I guess. Then why'd you sign him?
Well, you signed him because he's still a good player. It's not that he's a bad player. But I mean, again, he started almost exactly half of his 842 career games.
All right. How many has Malik started?
That's a good question. Malik has started. He hasn't played 800 games. he started 83 of his 523.
All right.
But again, he started 45 out of 65 games last year.
Why? Why did he start last year?
He started due to a trade. Well, no.
Because they didn't have a point guard.
Well, no, he started the shooting guard first. You remember, they moved him into the starting lineup alongside De'Aaron
Yes,
Fox.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
They started him because Kevin Huerter forgot how to play.
Right.
Yeah. So, hey, look, I'm just saying, like, if I'm having a true, honest, open competition, you know, training camp, I know my starting center is Domantas Sabonis. I know my starting power forward is Keegan Murray. Okay. Outside of that, you probably know that Zach LaVine is your starting shooting guard. I don't know about DeMar DeRozan. If you want to, like, somebody has to play off the bench and score.
Okay.
I'm having an open competition for it.
Okay. We should have started the show with this. Okay. Kenny, we're taking this way into D'Lon Casey.
Yeah.
So let's go. Let's just. Schroeder and Monk are their point guard options. Who starts TBD, I guess. Are you keeping Mason Jones as your 15th guy to be the third point guard? Did he show enough in Summer League? Or are you rocking with Devin Carter? Zach LaVine can run some point. DeMar DeRozan can handle the ball. And you just try and piece it together if you need to get down to a third point guard.
It's tough, man, because I think, like, again, Devin Carter's on the roster. If he's on the roster right now, which, you know, that of course is what's happening. If he's on the roster, then you have to at least have some spot. Like, I'm not going to sign a 26-year-old Mason Jones, put myself into luxury tax or real close to it.
Yeah. He can be the third point guard, maybe.
So he can be he's 27. So he can be a third. Hey, happy birthday to Mason Jones, who turned 27 yesterday.
Hey, salute.
Yeah. I'm just not going to put him in a starting. I mean, I'm not going to sign him when I know I have a player who can do some of the same things he can.
Yeah.
And then that's just tough for Mason. Now, if you're going to keep 15 men on the roster, maybe they do a non-guaranteed deal. And we don't know what Doug McDermott's contract is either as far as guaranteed money versus not. Because I'm pretty sure last year he had like $800,000 guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had until like right before the trade deadline to waive him to guarantee the money in January. Yeah, yeah. And then they ended up keeping him. I definitely, you know, if you're looking at a budget option, Mason Jones would at least be that. And you could at least give him a contract that was, you know, a league minimum deal.
Sure.
That isn't fully guaranteed.
Okay, I don't want to think about Mason Jones anymore for the time being.
Nope.
Salute to him for having a birthday yesterday, but I'm taking him off my chart here.
Yep, I take him off your chart.
Okay. Zach LaVine starting at shooting guard. I would put that in stone. You're less certain.
I think that that's probably what's going to happen. I do, but I also, you know, stranger things have happened.
I would be over the moon if the Kings approached this season in a way that was, yeah, Zach can come off the bench.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think
I mean,
so
I'm pretty sure Keon is going to come off the bench.
I think so, too. So LaVine, if we're just listing out a depth chart, LaVine's at the top, and then I've got Keon behind him. And is Devin Carter your third shooting guard?
Yeah.
I mean, technically?
Technically.
Because I don't know. Although, if I'm giving a third shooting guard minutes...
It's probably Nate Clifford.
Probably Nate, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather give him those minutes at this
point. You're going to have to steal minutes from positions all day long. Plus, like, look, your third shooting guard is probably Malik Monk. He's your backup point guard. Like, you're going to play Dennis Schroeder and Malik Monk more than a combined 48 minutes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they're going to eat into that.
They're going to play together a lot.
Yeah, I think we're going to see, you know, like... That position's like 54 to 56 minutes between those two players. That's what they're going to play on this season. So you got to figure out how that happens.
54 to 56.
Combined minutes.
Oh, got it.
At a position where you only have 48 minutes.
Right.
So you're going to steal 6 to 8 minutes from the shooting guard position where they're going to play together.
So are we taking Terrence Davis off the list?
Yeah. I mean, Terrence Davis is going to have a tough time making the team.
Yeah,
because of the depth at the position. Now, if the Kings move on from a guy like Devin Carter, then sure, I could easily see Terrence Davis making the team. but they haven't moved on from Devin Carter.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough.
Moving to small forward, DeMar DeRozan probably starts.
Probably.
And then Nate Clifford should probably get a lot of minutes there.
You would hope so.
Because your other options are now Doug McDermott and maybe Isaiah Crawford?
Yeah, I would even add, well, Isaiah Crawford, first of all, hasn't even signed a two-way contract, so he's still on the bubble as to whether or not he's going to be around or not.
And he's off the list. He's gone. I'm taking him off the list.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. So the guy that if I'm looking at that position, I'm going to want to cut DeMar down to like 28 minutes, and I'm going to want Neek to play close to 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if that's feasible because, I mean, we're talking about, you know, again, that point guard position needing an extra 6 to 8 minutes. We get to the shooting guard position. I mean, Zach LaVine, I'm going to put at 32 minutes. I'm going to put Keon Ellis at a guy who needs like 24 minutes plus.
Yeah.
And that right there is 56 minutes. So I'm now over budget, so I need to steal.
Yeah.
And so, hey, is there a world in which I could see a starting backcourt of Dennis Schroeder and Keon Ellis with Zach LaVine at the three? Yes, there is that world. I mean, Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are literally the same height. Like, we can talk, he's not really. It's like, yeah, he's played plenty of small forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guarantee you this, like, Zach LaVine is a better athlete than DeMar DeRozan at 30 versus 30, yes. 35, 36.
Yes, absolutely. And then Doug McDermott's also there. Moving to power forward, Keegan Murray's going to start.
Yep.
Pencil that in. Isaac Jones?
That's where it gets tough, man. Isaac Jones, you know.
You're like, quote-unquote true fours are, I mean, Keegan Murray's not even, to me, a true four, but he has to be for the purposes of the Kings roster.
I
try not to get swept up in the last couple of summer league games, but I'm tying in what we saw last regular season too, the flashes you saw from Isaac Jones, where you felt good about him as a potential NBA player. I think when Dario Saric is your other option, I'm rolling with Isaac Jones, and I'm feeling really good about the decision.
Well, that and even Dario Saric, I'm going to keep saying this. I don't even know if he makes a team. And if he does, there's a chance he makes a team because you want his $5.5 million salary to trade him down the road.
Sure.
You know, for potentially part of another transaction.
Yeah.
Which is why I was always so hard on Monty and Wes for actually giving away a second round pick to get rid of McDaniels last year.
It's crazy.
Because it's like, hey, look, man, number one, you could have traded him at the deadline as part of a larger package, which clearly you could have done.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you could have just stretch provisioned him and paid and saved $3 million right there.
Yep.
And kept moving, but no, they gave up a second round pick for it.
Yeah, hopefully the Saric ad is more strategic down the line.
Yeah,
than just the immediacy of, okay, Denver wants Valanciunas, we can get Saric back, we'll shed $5 million and figure out the rest later. I hope there's more to this than that, where they are going, okay, if we can't add him in a trade, we're ready to stretch provision him and we'll be done with that. I don't think there's any basketball reason for Dario Saric to play legitimate minutes for the Kings.
No, I would agree with you, unless it's a breaking case of emergency. You have a bunch of injuries, or you know, something happens to Keegan, and you're like, we can't live with Isaac Jones as like the lone power forward on this roster for long term. Yeah, I definitely could see, even like if Dario Saric was the option, like Trey Lyles to me is a more functional NBA player than Dario Saric.
Yeah. Oh, I think by a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, I would have rather had Trey back on a league minimum deal than Dario Saric.
Do you know how many games Dario Saric played for Denver last year?
No.
16.
Mm.
He played 13 minutes a night in those 16 games.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Also, another crazy thing, if you had asked me just off the rip, how old is Dario Saric, I'd have said like 35.
No, he's like
31.
Yeah, okay. I thought he was 29, 30.
31. Like, he's been in the league for 20 years.
Yeah.
He's just been around.
I think Dario might even fall into like the Alex Lynn category. Like, if you really, really have a problem and you need to like plug a player in, like for a short stint, okay, you've got him.
He's going to be in the right spot. He can He can knock down a three. He's 36% for his career, although he shot 27% from three last year. Woof.
Well, that's not good.
But if he's hanging out in the corner, you don't hate the like. He's gonna. I just don't want to watch Dario Saric play basketball. He's not on this iteration. Not on this iteration of the Kings. Mm-mm. I think they have more uses for those potential minutes. Dario Saric nicknames, real quick, on Basketball Reference: Super Dario. It's like Super Mario. Okay, that makes sense. Cece? Shishi?
Yeah.
Cece, I think. And the homie.
The homie?
There it is. We found
Why
it.
Why does he get to be the homie?
We found it. That's my favorite for sure. No doubt.
The homie?
Yeah.
That's just the thing one. You say about people. Joe. Oh, yeah. Joe's the homie.
Yeah, but that's what makes it more special if you can claim...
The Jomie? Sorry, go ahead. Keep going. If you can claim
No,
one.
Yeah, no. Let's move on from that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, my bad.
Okay. Anyways, it's about time for break.
Okay. We're going to do that now. Joe, get me out of here. It's the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is over there. I'm Kyle. Joe's over there. We're talking about the Kings roster in the depth chart. We never got to center.
I think Domantas Sabonis is starting.
I would assume so, although we're going to have a battle. Got to battle it out. Every spot's open. Drew Eubanks could start. I'm joking. Yeah, Drew Eubanks is this is one of the worst things anyone's ever said on the radio in Sacramento, but I'm going to say it. Drew Eubanks is definitely, for me, in a tier slightly above Dario Saric in terms of playability, where I think it is much more justifiable if the Kings in game one say, hey, we're going to take a couple of weeks. We're going to play the veterans. We're going to ease the young players in. I feel so much better about that scenario with Drew Eubanks playing over Maxime Raynaud for a short period while they see how Raynaud acclimates to the NBA game and you know, kind of increasing his minutes as they go along before fully making him the backup center. I'm fine with that if that's the plan. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way about Isaac Jones and Dario Saric. Like, I wouldn't be cool with that. I'd be cool with the Reno scenario. Like, all right, Eubanks got to play for a week or two. Okay. But Isaac Jones, he's in his second year. Dario Saric played 16 games last year. I think Isaac Jones is the better player.
Yeah, I mean, Isaac Jones is also, like you say, he's in his second season, but he's 25. Yeah. Like, this is a mature dude. Got. Like, he has a mature NBA body. They're working on, you know, like refining who he is as a player and all that stuff, but that mm-hmm. he should be ready to play.
The thing I'm really interested with in the front court, so Sabonis is going to start obviously, and we can, you know, talk Raynaud or Eubanks and who should be the second till we're blue in the face. And frankly, it's going to come down to camp and what the coaching staff ultimately decides. But would it shock you at all if at some point during the year, the Kings were experimenting with Sabonis Raynaud lineups?
No. It wouldn't shock me. No, I think that there is potential for that.
Yeah.
Again, we talk about like this 10 weeks right here mm-hmm. where you just got a good look at, again, Isaac Jones. You got a good look at Raynaud. You got to look at Clifford. Mm-hmm. And you come out of that with an honest to goodness assessment of each player and the strengths and weaknesses that you think that you can fix right now. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a longer punch list for all these players, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I need you to improve on three-point shot. I need you to improve on your pick-and-roll defense. I need you... Like, there's a huge punch list. But there are certain things that you can hit in this 10 weeks, and it's going to be refining their body. It's going to be, you know, tightening the three-point shot, like, finding like three or four hot spots on a floor for a player and then playing them to those spots, mm-hmm. right? And so I think with Renault, they're going to do a lot of work on his lateral quickness. They're going to do a lot of strength training and upper body and physicality and like pushing him around. But I also think while they're doing that, they're also going to be like, they probably saw a lot of the things that we saw when we're watching him. Like, he sure does move really well on the perimeter.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really good thing for a 7-footer, a legit set. What's he, 7'5", without shoes?
Yeah.
Like, for him to be able to track the perimeter and move around like that, that's really, really good. And if you can develop that, he could actually play alongside Sabonis, and he could actually be a weak side shot blocker for Sabonis, and he could be a 3-point threat for Sabonis. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that there is potential for that down the road. Again, I think Reno isn't that much different in size than Lauri Markkanen. Mm-hmm. Now, Lauri Markkanen has a much more refined game at this point, but you got to remember, like, no one wanted to sign him like 3-4 summers ago. Mm-hmm. Like, he was a restricted free agent, and he went deep into August before he got a contract with the Cavs, right? And then his team didn't match. So then he ends up being part of the trade for Donovan Mitchell. Right?
Oh, that's right.
So, but he was available.
I have zero recollection of the Lauri Markkanen Cleveland Cavs era.
Yeah.
So, I have no memory of those 61 games.
Yeah. And crazy. So the key, though, is that, like, look, he is a player who hadn't figured it out. I could definitely see a world in which, I don't think Reno is going to be Lauri Markkanen, but where he can be like a poor man's version of that.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, that would be cool. If you could get him to be a four,
yeah,
that plays the five, or a five that can play the four,
sure,
versus just a five. And maybe you take a little bit of extra time and you don't rush him onto the court because you're working on that aspect of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the physicality at the four is way different than it is at the three.
Sure.
But the speed of the game is way faster too.
Right.
So yeah, just intriguing that, you know, like, that's why when you get a player that should have been a first round pick that slides to 42, like, there is potential for him to be an actual ball player.
Yeah. Big and, time.
Like, why not?
For sure. Speaking of actual ball players, it's time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building on his birthday. Hey, happy birthday to Kenny. To you, I mean, Kenny.
Oh, hey, man.
That was awkward.
You. No, it's all good. People don't know who
just
you
looking,
is
looking
sometimes.
You in the face. Say, I'm like, hey, happy birthday to Kenny. Respond.
So, Kyle, would that be you speaking to me in the third person? Or is that like the fourth person?
I don't know.
I think that's the second person.
Well, you're saying Kenny. You're not saying you.
I know, but I think that might be the second person.
But saying you to me.
Yes.
Who's on first? Saying you to me would be the second person. Saying,
sure.
Using Kyle when talking about yourself would be
that's
the third person.
Third person.
Using my name
to
talk
you.
About me might be the fourth person.
If he would have said, this is Kyle Madsen saying happy birthday to.
Oh, man. Third and fourth person.
Oh, my
to
God.
Kenny Caraway. Yeah.
Holy smokes. Hey,
I don't know if any of that's true, by the way. I just literally hypothesizing right here on the radio.
Sources tell me that you have a guest at 12:15 on your program today.
I do.
Okay, very good. Are you going to say who that guest is?
Yeah, it's okay, Dave Deuce Mason.
So
he'll be in the building.
Of Deuce and Mofan.
In the building?
On the stream.
On the stream.
It's tough to get people to come out to Roseville.
Yeah, facts. He's like, hey, you want to come out and do a show? Yeah, sure. Where is it? Roseville?
That's literally what happened yesterday. I was talking to somebody. I won't say who it is. It's all love, but I wouldn't say who it is. I was like, man, you want to come on the show on Thursday? They was like, yeah, for sure. I was like, you want to be on the stream or in the studio? They're like, where's the studio? I said Roseville. They're like, I'll see you on the stream, big dog.
That's so I, was funny. Going, I work in Sacramento. People go, oh, Sacramento, that's not too bad. I'm like, well, it's Roseville. And then they're like, oh.
Kyle got to go all the way through Sacramento. Literally there's, all the way through Sacramento.
There's nothing worse than passing Golden 1 Center and still having 25 minutes to go.
They tried to get me today, too.
You live in Elk Grove, which is a trek to Roseville. And James, you live the other direction. It's a trek to Roseville. Mm. I've been driving for an hour once I get to Elk Grove. You know how demoralizing that is?
Bro, I'm telling you.
To get to Elk Grove, and it's like, I still got 40 minutes.
Then they tried to get me today, because I had everything mapped out. It was good. I left the house at like 10:50. It was going to get me here at 11:20, so I could do what I need to do for the other show and be good. And I'm driving, and, you know, I'm on the little maps. It's got the GPS, like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, you're going to get there. I think it might have said at 11:28 or something like that. You know, I pull up the iTunes, you know, what music I want to listen to.
10:28.
No, 11:28.
Oh, yeah, it's noon. Sorry. Yeah. Here we go. All right, we're good.
It said it was going to get me. You at 11.
Goodness me. Do you know, I was looking at the.
That clock thing is off.
I was looking at the our where the commercials and all our sounds and stuff play. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why does this look wrong? And it was 9 a.m. I was looking at the wrong hour.
Oh, jeez.
It's just now. Anyway, so 11:28. Go on. Sorry.
So 11:28, you know, pull up the iTunes. I want to listen to some music today. You guys were on a commercial break at the time. So I was like, let me listen to some music real quick and hear some things. And then I pick what I wanted to hear. And then I slide the screen back down. And on the GPS, it says 11:54.
Oh, no.
I said, wait, what? Bro, it just said 11:28. What the hell are you talking about? So I like minimize the screen to see where it's at. It's all the way like on 80. There was, I don't even know. Maybe it was an accident. I don't know.
Oh, I hope
but
it wasn't.
Yeah, it got, yeah, I was doing good and then I wasn't.
Do you agree with it? James and I were discussing this earlier. I'm of the mind at the point guard position for the Kings that if Dennis Schroeder is not starting, it's kind of a disaster.
I agree. Yeah, they don't really have no, they don't have no PG outside of Schroeder.
I agree.
Yeah, they don't even have a backup. We've been talking about it for a month now. Like, is Devin Carter going to do it? Malik Monk can do it. I think you can get away with the Malik Monk as your backup point guard. But like you said, if you don't look at Schroeder as your starter, then you definitely need a starting point guard.
I think Malik Monk has been their backup point guard for the last like handful of years. Mm-hmm. Like he is a ball dominant guard coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. And I don't really see any huge difference between him and Schroeder. I think Schroeder's a better defensive player. I think Monk is a more electric scorer. Mm. For me, it's a coin flip who would start. I think when you don't have Malik Monk to back up Malik Monk, there's a huge problem. When you move Malik Monk in the starting lineup, but you don't have another Malik Monk coming off the bench, now you're done.
Right.
But now you do. You have another Malik Monk. You got a dude just like Malik who hasn't started. You know, he started half the games in his career.
See, I think Schroeder is more of a traditional point guard. I think he's got more of a point guard mindset. We talked about this for the past couple of weeks with Devin Carter. Is it in your veins? Is it in your blood? Are you born a point guard? And I think Malik Monk is a willing point guard because he tries to do the right thing or whatever. He's a little erratic, though. The turnovers, you saw once he got into that starting role and had to play more point guard, the turnovers were an issue. Because he's just a little wild, with a little loose with the basketball sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think Schroeder, his first thought when he steps on the floor and he's playing with the guys around him is to make sure I set the table. That doesn't mean I'm not saying he's Chris Paul, but he's like, maybe Chris Paul is like, for the first 6 minutes, I'm going to set the table for everybody.
Yeah.
Schroeder might be, for the first 3.5 minutes, I'm going to set the table for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Monk is for the first 1.5 minutes, I'm going to set the table for everybody.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I think Schroeder's a little bit more of a traditional point guard.
I would agree.
Than Malik Monk is. But I agree with James. If you have Malik Monk on the roster still, he can easily, and he has easily played a backup point guard role. In the past and can do it again.
Man, this is so complicated. I'm trying to figure out like the last 5 years of, or even like the last 3 years of Dennis Schroeder, what he's averaged like per 36. as far as assists. Mm-hmm. But because he's played for 43 teams in those, in those 3 years.
I know that basketball reference is crazy.
It's so complicated. You're like, two teams, three teams. You're like, oh my gosh, how do you do this? But like 3 years, the 21-22 season, 5.8 assists per 36. Let's go to the next group, 7.1 during the 23-24 season, 6.9 assists per game per 36. Last season, Malik Monk's the same. 6'2", 7'1", 6'3".
What's the turnovers?
Right around the same. 2.6, 3, 2.8. So roughly 2.8 turnovers per game for Monk.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Schroeder 2.4, 2.2, a little bit less, and 2.8.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, they're very similar as far as players. They actually... they hit about the same from the field. They hit about the same from three. You know, again, I think you're just dealing with like a younger version of the same player. Malik is a 43.4% shooter from the field for his career and 35% from three and 43.2 and 34%.
I think Schroeder requires fewer shots.
That I agree with that. And also,
I want to make sure those numbers bear out before I say that. Hang on.
Yeah.
14. So 12, 13, 14.
Per 36 for their career, it's 15.6 to 16.1.
Okay. Let's look at the last 3 years. 17, 17, 17 for Malik. 12, 13, 14 for Schroeder. Yeah.
And once again, I talk more so about the mindset.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like in Schroeder's introductory press conference, he talked about that. He said, my job, whether he actually follows through on it or not, but my job is to make sure the people around me play at a high level.
Right.
I've got to set the table for everybody else. And this, when I say this, this isn't to say Malik is a selfish player or nothing like that, but do you think Malik Monk was at that at a press conference? Like that's just not his mentality.
Well,
that's
not
his thought process.
But it is, because, you know, when the Kings signed Malik, Monty came out and said, you know, Malik Monk has rated the last like two seasons as the best pick and roll passer in the game.
Mm.
And then he went on to do that again and again with the Kings, where he, in the pick and roll, he's spectacular. The problem is that Monty and Wes decided to never give him a lob threat outside of JaVale McGee, which is where Malik even excels further. So, like, look, I think that they're both good players. I just think that there's not that much difference between the two. And so if I'm Doug Christie and I'm walking into camp, I know that Dennis brings a defensive mindset, a little bit more of a defensive mindset, but it's not like Dennis Schroeder is some lockdown defender. I would make it a camp battle. Like, why not? Like, who's going to come out on top? And the other thing I pointed out to Kyle is like, you spent $14 million on Dennis Schroeder, and everyone's like, well, you spent the money on him. Well, Malik Monk makes $4.5 million more than that. Like, he's the player that you also spent money on that also played what started 65 games last year, whatever it was, or 48
played,
of a 65.
Played 65.
Yeah, you guys, 48 of a 65, he started something like
45
that.
45 is 65.
You guys know Malik is my dog. You know, it's always love. So
is he the homie?
He's definitely the homie.
No, he's not. Dario Saric is the homie.
Per Basketball Reference, that's Dario Saric.
That's his nickname. That's the homie.
The homie.
Oh, okay. Homie. I like that. Yeah. I'm going to start calling him the homie.
Yeah.
Too bad we lost the nasty boy, Valanciunas.
Yeah.
They should put that on Basketball Reference.
Yeah.
real quick, you're listening to KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, always live on the free Odyssey app. Go ahead.
Malik's my dog. I want him to play. I want him to get minutes, all this other stuff. I want him here. But I will say this, if I have to be objective to what I think is best for the team, I saw that team last year with Malik as the starting point guard, and it didn't look right. Just didn't look right.
That's kind of my...
Maybe Schroeder's the same way. I don't know, but I haven't seen it. I've seen Malik running that show, and I didn't like it.
I think that's the crux of my point. I don't disagree that, okay, yeah, have your camp battle. But if your camp battle shakes out to where the guy who ran the point last year and did so in such a way that it led Scott Perry to say, our number one priority is getting a point guard, if the guy you then signed can't even beat out the guy who made it where you needed a point guard, I think you have a real problem. That's an issue for me.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, like, you didn't bring in a guy who's considerably better. Like, it, not only at the position, okay, but then considerably
Scott Perry
better.
Failed. The front office failed then. If their number one, their top priority was getting a point guard, and then the guy they got can't beat out a backup point guard, you have a problem. That was your top priority, and that's how you handled it?
I'm not disagreeing. I mean, when we came into this offseason, the key we all thought was to get a top 15 point guard.
Sure.
Okay?
They didn't.
That did not happen.
No, not quite.
And that's not, like, we're not trying to be disrespectful to Dennis Schroeder, but again, Dennis Schroeder started, he's played 842 games or whatever in his mm-hmm. career, 424 of those he started.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's a starter for every team he goes to.
No doubt.
And so, I would definitely have an open competition.
I think you get the best out of Malik Monk when he's looked at as a finisher and not a table setter for others.
I think that's a good point,
type of Malik Monk you get.
We'll step aside so you can step in here. You've got Dave Deuce Mason of the Deuce and Mo podcast and NBC Sports and some other stuff.
Do I got to run the route again? Is
that what, yeah, no. That okay. Oh, we're doing it. We're doing this again. Sure, yeah, here we go. I'll play Jesse. I'll hit the open. Cool. Thumbs up. All right. Very good. I'll hit the open. D'Lo and Casey coming out. Don't go anywhere. We're going to play their show open right now. It's happening. Hang on. Let me see. This is where there's mechanics to this. I got to close all my tabs. There we go. Okay. Yeah. All right. He's going in motion. Hey,
unplug.
Kill.
Unplug.
Kill.
I got to get back. I'm off.
No. You got to unplug.
You got to.
I'm blown.
D'Lo and KC next for James Hamm and Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Back tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water. Be nice, people.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.